Welcome to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Mommy Oyoyo is a platform for the modern African woman to talk about anything and everything related to motherhood in today's world. Join me, Berry Dakara, every week as we tackle the good, the bad, the ugly, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses, and everything else in between. Mommy Oyoyo is your plug for real life gist and experiences about being a mother, African style. Hello, 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 and welcome to this episode of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. As usual, it's your girl, Berry Dakara, your number one podcaster, your favorite podcaster, your number one Mommy Oyoyo, the only Mommy Oyoyo in town. Eh, you want try? Oh gosh, don't mind me. But yeah, welcome to this episode. Before we get into the conversation that I have today, let's just get some housekeeping things out of the way. I wish I could get some housekeeping things out of the way in real life. I want to outsource, but I don't have the money right now. You people, if you want to send me some small change, I'll accept it. Or just ask me, hey, Berry, what's your account number? I will give it to you. But yeah, okay. So September 30th was International Podcast Day. And I really had such a good day mixing with other African podcasters. A group put together AfroPodCon. I think it was put together by, Avocado Podcast and Niger Pod Hub and a few other podcast people in the podcasting space. And there are also quite a number of panelists who just came on to share about their journeys and, you know, share their tips on podcasting. We had some people who have been podcasting for over 5 years, and it was just really, really nice and refreshing to speak with other podcasters who are African as well. Like, I really, really enjoyed that time. And Oreca Goddess, I don't know if you guys know Oreca Goddess, but she's been in the media and entertainment industry for a long time, for over 10 years, I believe. And she was one of the panelists. And while we were going through the sessions, she just mentioned, she was like, oh yeah, you know, like Mommy Oyoyo, she's doing so well. Like, I love the way she's branding and the way she's been consistent and her commitment, like the growth. I've been watching her, like, from her blogging to YouTube and now podcasting. And honestly, like, I stopped for like a good 10 seconds to be like, wait, is she talking about me? Right? I was in my room, my bedroom, and I literally stood up and looked around the room to be like, who is she talking about? Because I only know one Mommy Oyoyo, and it's me, and it cannot be me. So I sent her a private message in Zoom. I was like, hi, Oreca. Are you talking about me? Do you mean me? And she was like, yes. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I was just so excited. I was like, hey, Oreca knows me. Are you kidding? Wow. You know, and I was just really, really excited. And honestly, that's just how I feel when I see, and you know, when I see the numbers and see people listening and see people sharing. Guys, in September, I thought that we would end with 8,000 listens at the end of the month, but we surpassed that by so much. At the end of the day, I think we were at 8,800 listens, and I'm just like blown away. You guys are so magnificent. Thank you guys for listening, for sharing, for dragging. I know a lot of women, at least the last episode on the vasectomy, which, listen, this vasectomy episode, I mean, I've been telling for Abby, I'm like, listen, this episode is going to like shoot up to the top of the, you know, the most popular episodes. And he was like, yeah, you're just being generous. No, I'm not being generous, because that's what's happening. It's been a week, almost a week, and it's now at the number 2 spot, the second most popular episode on the podcast. So yeah, thank you to everyone who has been sharing and everyone who has been listening. You guys are just so amazing. And you know what, honestly, In 2021, this is my dream that in 2021, CNN Africa will reach out to me to be like, "Hey, we've been noticing your podcast and we would like to do a feature on you, a feature story on you, like talking about who is this woman that tells stories about African motherhood." That's what I see. That honestly, that is what I see. For me in the future, and I would like for it to happen in 2021. So you guys just keep listening and keep sharing. And if you know anybody or you know someone that knows someone that knows somebody that knows somebody in CNN Africa, please oh send this podcast their way. Okay. I just had to throw that out there. Let's see. Okay, so October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month, and I cannot begin to fathom the kind of pain and grief that comes along with something like that. I really, really can't. But I am sending out my prayers and my love and my thoughts and just praying for comfort for anyone who has been through something like that or who is still going through something like that. I would say that if you have been in that position, or you are in that position, or you know someone who's been in that position, to listen to episode 39, where I spoke with Damilola Ogumbo. The title of that episode was "Heaven Baby: Life After Infant Loss," and Damilola just spoke from a place of peace. And I really would encourage you to listen to that episode. And guys, not just today and not just for the month, just put people, into your thoughts and your prayers. You just never know what people are going through. And you don't have to have gone through, pregnancy loss or a miscarriage or infant loss to listen to that episode. Something that I have been learning while doing this podcast is I'm more empathetic and I'm more open, and just listening to so many people's experiences. And I think that that's one of the main things from this episode, from this podcast, is that it's just creating awareness on so many different topics that you may never go through yourself, but others around you do. And I think that this podcast is awesome and helping everyone to be better rounded people. All right, so this episode, I'm speaking with Z about postpartum depression, and I just want to say thank you, Z, for being so open and transparent about your experience. You guys know in Africa, we don't take like mental health or like depression, maternal mental health into, we don't take it seriously. If anybody says that they have postpartum depression, usually it's just like, are you the first person to have a child? Why are you sad? You're not grateful or whatever, things like that. But we really just need to continue pushing awareness of postpartum depression, which is real. It is so real. And just thank you to Z for coming on the podcast and just sharing your experience and sharing your heart. I hope you guys enjoy listening to this episode, and I will stop talking now, and I will see you guys next week, Friday. God bless you, and I love you. Hi, Z.
Hi.
How are ya?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing all right. I am fine and dandy. How are you doing? What's going on?
I'm good. Coping with mothering during the pandemic. We're going on what, 6 months now?
Yes.
Practically half a year already, so coping with that the best way I can.
We are all trying and just, trying to do the best that we all can. And just kudos to every parent out there that's been
For
doing the darn
real.
thing, because it's been hard.
Yeah, it has. It really has.
It's been challenging, so kudos to everyone, and kudos to you too as well. Very excited for our conversation today. My mommy or your audience, just so you know, Z and I have been talking about this episode since June. When what are we? September. We're in
Yes.
September,
Oh,
and now we are finally recording. But you know what? It's better late than never. We eventually work through
delays, right? So, Z, thank you very much for coming onto the podcast. Could you please tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, your family, your career, your foundation, everything. Tell us whatever you want to know.
All right. I am Andy. I'm a mom to a almost 2-year-old. He'll be 2 in a few weeks. Apart from momming, I am a sexual and reproductive health researcher and advocate. And so I do consultancy on that. And in between that, I have a Instagram page that I like to think of it as kind of an outlet for me, like my mommy outlet. And it's just a safe space where I talk about mindful motherhood. I share recipes because I love to cook. And everything in between, book recommendations, random things. So that's at For Mamas. And yeah, that's me. We live in the US. Now we lived in Nigeria for a few months after Eri was born, and then we moved back. So yeah, that's us.
Sweet, thank you. And then your foundation that you just started, what, a couple months ago?
Yes. So I recently launched an organization called Oleshe, which is it's linked to the work I do. So it's focused on sexual reproductive health and justice. And so part of our work now is focused on educating young adolescent girls in Nigeria on sexual and reproductive health, and also working with moms in hospitals and providing them with materials that they need, and also providing adolescent girls with period products. So yeah, that's us. That's Alicia. That was recently launched in June.
Thank you so much for that. I'm gonna leave the website information and all the social media information
in
the show notes, and then he will also share all that information at the very end of our episode. But the reason why I wanted to speak with Z for this episode is because a few months ago on her For Mamas Instagram page, she shared that she was diagnosed with postpartum depression and anxiety a few months after having her son. And I thought it was really brave of you to share that information. And I just kind of wanted to know, can you walk us through, I guess maybe your pregnancy and, you know, giving birth, and like what led you to, you know, wondering whether something was really wrong, I needed to go to a doctor. Just kind of walk us through everything that led to the diagnosis.
Yeah. So I'll start by saying that I also have a background in mental health and psychology and mental health. So I studied psychology in undergrad. My master's is in global mental health. And aside from that, I actually, prior to being pregnant, I personally have a history of depression for about 5 years before I even was pregnant. And so to be honest, my partner, my mom, like my close friends, and my doctor were actually concerned that I was at risk for postpartum depression. But personally, I was aware that I was at risk because statistics show that people that have a history of depression are at an increased odds of having postpartum depression. So I was kind of aware, but a part of me felt that, you know, I'm going to bring this new life and I love children. I didn't think that I would be sad at all. I was so certain that I wouldn't be in the position that I found myself in, but I was wary at some point. So I think towards probably like somewhere in my third trimester, my OBGYN referred me to a therapist to see, just to kind of get a sense of where my mind was at that point, to be sure that they were kind of putting preventative measures in place. And I met with the therapist, I think it was like, it was August, because I gave birth in September, and I knew it was like the end of August, like right before Labor Day. So actually some kind of around this time, 2 years ago. And I had been in therapy before, and I really didn't like the therapist that I saw. And I didn't feel if anything, I kind of felt more triggered because, you know, I was in a place where I was doing better mentally, and I just really felt that she was projecting a lot of things onto me, and it just was an experience that I really had never had in any therapy that I've been in before. So I kind of just like shook it off. So in the meantime, there was another institute that was actually a bigger perinatal and maternal mental health institution. So it was focused on a wide variety of like reproductive mental health issues. So people that are trying for children, trying to conceive, teenage pregnancy, like all of that. So they have a lot, and they have a lot of funding and all of that. And they're quite expensive. So because of my age at the time, I was able to get into the program for free, but it was so difficult to get into the program. And I had tried to start seeing them before I gave birth so that I would have that system already in place in case of anything. And I had months worth of emails with one of the directors there just trying to get me into the program, seeing if there was any space. So I unfortunately wasn't able to get in, and you know, I just kind of let go of it and just like continued preparing for my son and all of that. And thinking to like up until I gave birth, I actually was in quite a good space. So it's not like anything dramatic happened. The only thing that I would say is that my partner was in Nigeria while I was in the US. So that, I mean, that obviously put additional stress, but I didn't really feel that stress until after I gave birth. So when I don't know if I should really talk about my birth story here. That's not really what this is about. But I think that some of it did play into how I felt afterwards. So I was overdue and I was induced, anybody who has been induced and listening to this, I am so sure you know how painful Pitocin is. It is very, very painful. And I eventually got an epidural, so all of that was fine. I gave birth. I pushed for 50 minutes and then I gave birth. So, I mean, thank God for that. And I think where the issue started for me was before giving birth, I was very like, I want to breastfeed, I want to breastfeed, I want to breastfeed. And it wasn't working. Like I was very confused as to why it wasn't working, because I'm like, I just was able to put the breast in the baby's mouth and it would work. And to be honest, it wasn't working. I was very confused. I mean, I had a doula who was there to support me and she was amazing. But I was just really confused and I wasn't asleep. And I mean, after giving birth, like a lot of women feel like very hazy and like confused, especially if you're a first time mom, you feel confused and just like out of place. And I just felt like I was floating and I had a neighbor in the room I was in, and she was sleeping. I don't know how she was sleeping because I could not sleep. Even though my son was actually a really good sleeper then, because he was a baby. But I know that I started feeling like a bit, I guess, like I started having anxiety about not being able to breastfeed him, which is what I intended to do. And things kind of, I don't want to say got worse, because I mean, he was jaundiced. He ended up being jaundiced because he wasn't getting enough fluids. And I was giving him formula, which honestly I didn't mind. I just wanted him to be okay. And I know that at some point, within his first week, we had to take him to the emergency room because of bilirubin levels, which is the substance that makes the babies that have jaundice look yellow, or anyone that has jaundice look yellow. And I remember just being in shock and like just trying to stay calm, because I didn't want to panic. And it was funny because I remember I was like, my mom was with me and I was trying to be calm for her because, you know, African mothers.
Right.
So I was trying to be calm for her because she was like, oh my God, yay, mommy. So I remember trying to be calm for her. And I remember even like getting upset with her, like, why am I trying to be calm for you? I'm the one that just gave birth and like my son, like you have to take him to the ER. And so ended up spending a few hours in the ER. We left at like 4 a.m. And I think around that time is when things started going a little, I don't want to say south, but I really started feeling, I knew that what I was feeling wasn't just postpartum blues, which a lot of women have within the first few days, sometimes weeks after giving birth. And I started, I mean, I had moments where I was like, oh, wow, I love my baby. It's amazing. And then I had moments where I was just like, I really just, this is just exhausting and tiring. And, you know, babies don't sleep. And if you have a history of depression or any mental illness, I think that stress triggers it. And even in general, without a history, stress triggers depression and anxiety. And I think that newborn stress really did trigger it for me. And in the Instagram post that I made, I remember I posted a picture of the day that I went to, the day that I got diagnosed, and that was, I think he was about four or five weeks old. And the day before, I don't even remember what happened, but I remember being in this very, very weird state of mind where like everything was like rotating around me, and I was like anxious and angry and tired and frustrated and moody, and I was just feeling a lot of emotions, and like I was in and out of sleep, but like I felt like I wasn't sleeping. And I remember like snapping at, I don't know if it was like my partner or my mom. I know I snapped at someone, and I just started crying hysterically. And I was like, okay, there's something, and I something isn't right. So I called my friend. Friend was like, maybe you should try to see this therapist again. And I was like, that's a good idea. I was actually thinking of that too. So I called the institute that I had tried to get into before, and you know, they were like, okay, you know what, like you can come in like tomorrow if you can. And so I went in the next day, and it was a very interesting experience because it was such a long drive from where we were staying. And I just remember feeling, because that, mind you, like the 24 hours before, I like couldn't hold my son. I didn't want to be around him, and luckily I was pumping, so I was able to pump, and my mom fed him, and my aunt also was around, and they fed him while I like was just, I don't even know what I was doing. I was probably just like staring into the ceiling. And I remember being in the office and like the doctor asking me all these questions, and I remember saying that I felt weird that I couldn't take pictures with my son, and I didn't really have a lot of pictures with him. Like I would take pictures of him, but I never really took pictures with him, I didn't hold him for a few hours. And I remember her telling me that, you know, after I leave the room to try to take a picture with him, and you know, that's what I did. I feel like I'm rambling now. I don't even know if I'm answering But I do remember that being what led up until, like, those are all the things that kind of happened up until that moment of me being diagnosed. And it really, to be honest, like, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, for real. Like, I knew, my own background, I knew I'd felt those feelings before, but they were different because I was a mom. And so everything that I had felt before in any other depressive state that I might have been in before, it was kind of escalated because like I had the postpartum hormones to deal with that were also making things worse. And then obviously the hormones that are being released from while you're breastfeeding as well. So everything was kind of coming into play along with like the stress that I was going through. And it honestly came to no surprise to me. But I just knew that something had to happen. And so that's all that happened before I got diagnosed.
Okay. I remember right after I had Coco, the hormones are very special.
Yes, they are.
My sister had told me, she's like, you know what, if you ever need to cry, you know, just cry. And I'm looking at her like, I mean, sure, whatever, like, why would I be crying? Right?
Yeah.
And I cried so much for almost no reason. Well, I guess it was threefold. Number one fold, I also had issues breastfeeding, and it was really, really hard. I remember
going to see a lactation specialist. Okay. And I was just crying my eyes out in her office. She started crying. That's how bad it was, because I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. It doesn't make any sense. My sister had like how many months worth of pumped milk in her freezer. I can barely even do like three. Yeah, like when she had her children, and I could barely pump up to 2 ounces of milk from both breasts, right? So that was number one. And then number two was just the regular, you know, hormones and everything. I remember my mom, don't laugh, but my mom cooked pepper soup one day.
Oh, yeah.
And we forgot it that night on the stove. We didn't put it in the fridge. The following morning, I come downstairs and I see the pot on the stove. I open it and the soup had gone bad, and I started crying.
Yeah.
My mom's like, "What are you crying for?" I'm like, "The baby is up. You made it. It has gone to waste. What am I going to do now?" My mom's looking at me like, "Are you mad?" Like, it's just pepper soup. I can make another one. I'm like, "Oh my God, mommy, I'm so sorry. It's not my fault." Anyway, that's hormones. And then I guess the third thing was, you know, just seeing my marriage just starting to crumble around that time, you know, was a big deal. And I remember, you know, going to my postpartum checks, and the doctor looking at me like, like after you answer the questionnaire, you know, it was like, is there anything going on? Are you sure? Maybe we should put you on some medication. I'm like, no, I'm fine. You know, but yeah, I didn't have postpartum depression, but I just really remember the crying a lot of it, you know, and just knowing that you have all these hormones and it's okay to cry, but then I also kind of wonder, how do you know when it's beyond just the hormones? How do you know when it's beyond, you know, just that period of giving birth? How do you differentiate that and postpartum depression? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that one thing that I know that a lot of, I mean, like my doctor told me, because I remember asking her this, I was one of those people, and I'm still one of those people that like, I'm laughing because I am known, if I've ever had to get something from you or like service or anything, I ask so many questions, and I'm laughing because I'm touring preschools for my son, and like I went to his tour yesterday. I was asking like so many questions, and the guy was like, "Do you have any more in your phone?" But I remember before I gave birth, asking my doctor about this, that you know she knows that I have a history of depression, sorry. And I was like, how do I know that it's not just like what they call baby blues versus like actual postpartum depression? And I think one thing that she told me was kind of the length of time. So I think a lot of times baby blues last a few, like maybe if I would say 4 to 5 weeks. And I think that after that, it also depends on the severity as well. Like, are you sleeping? Are you eating? Are you finding yourself withdrawing? Are you finding yourself feeling like you're out of control? Are you feeling disconnected from your child? And I think that's an interesting one, because a lot of times, a lot of people don't feel an instant bond with their baby. A lot of women, after giving birth, don't feel an instant bond with their baby. And that doesn't necessarily always mean postpartum depression. But I think that if you're feeling negative thoughts towards your child, not like you want to harm them, but like you don't like them, like things like that, I think that that tends to point towards a mental, a perinatal mental health condition rather than just like baby blues and or hormones in general.
Okay.
So,
thank you. So you're at the doctor. She tells you, you know, this is postpartum depression, like what was your response afterwards and what was the treatment? What did you have to go through to get over PPD?
Yeah. So I you know, because I, like I said, I had a history with depression before, and so I've been in therapy for a very long time. And I think that when I got diagnosed, the doctor was giving me options. You know, I can continue to see a psychiatrist and they can control it with medication and this. But you know, personally, I didn't want to go on medication because I was breastfeeding, even though they said that there are some medications that are safe. But my treatment was just therapy. I was in therapy for, I would say, about 6 weeks after that date. So I had in-person therapy for about 3 weeks, and then I think the rest was virtual because we went to Nigeria eventually after I gave birth. At some point later on, and I, you know, that was, but it's interesting because when I got to Nigeria, obviously you have a lot of help in Nigeria. My partner was there. So a lot of the stress, the lack of sleep, a lot of that went down. But I wouldn't say that I think as time went on, as obviously as breastfeeding became easier because my son had a tongue tie. And so that made it difficult, to be honest, to breastfeed. And as breastfeeding started getting better and I started bonding with him and just feeling better, I saw that my symptoms were going down. I was getting better sleep. Even though it doesn't necessarily mean, my son wasn't necessarily sleeping better. I mean, he was sleeping for longer, but I think that the combination of having like my family around, like extended family around, having the support of my partner, seeing him, having him see our baby, that all helped a lot, in addition to the therapy, of course, because I think it was very important to be able to process some of my emotions with a professional. And that definitely helped me. And that was part of my process. And in terms of thinking about like when I think I felt better, that I could, you know, I mean, I ended the therapy sessions before I would say that I was completely better, but I would say that I started to feel like, okay, I don't feel like I'm in this depressive state or in this low period. Because for people that have like a history of depression, they go in cycles, and most mental illnesses or issues grow in cycles. So you have high periods that can last for years, and then you have low periods that are triggered. But I would say that I started to feel like I was coming out of the hole probably when my son was like 6 to 7 months old. And that's when I started to feel better. And that's actually when I started For Mamas on Instagram, because I started to feel like I was feeling better. I was feeling a little more, I don't want to say together, because I mean, I'm still feeling disoriented as a mom, but I wasn't feeling the effects of the mental health condition, I guess, on me.
Okay. So you said that while you were pregnant, in the month before you gave birth, that your doctor wanted to set you up with, I guess, a therapist for preventative measures. And it just occurred to me that, wait, are there preventative measures for postpartum depression?
Yeah. I mean, so her preventative measures were kind of getting me the right support system. So kind of having a kind of a cushion. So getting me in contact with a therapist. So having a therapist before and after I gave birth, so that anything that I was feeling, all the new feelings that I was having after giving birth, that I would have someone to talk to. And she actually also set me up with another I don't want to share the name of the program just for my own personal like health information. But she set me up with another program that, I mean, if anyone is in the US and would like information on this, I would be glad to give it to you. But she set me up in another program that was for first time moms under the age of, I think, 26. And that was very helpful because I saw a nurse actually weekly who actually just gave me information on like, you know, giving birth and all of that, but was also a great resource to talk to. And she was actually very helpful in like, I mean, I didn't get to see her. I saw her, she would come visit me weekly. And it was actually a very, very helpful program to be in because I was able to, you know, kind of have a good support system. And even with that, like, I mean, it doesn't mean that, oh my gosh, like I have this and I'm definitely not going to get this. I mean, it still happened, but I think the one thing that was missing for me was having a therapist to talk to. But like I said, like sometimes these things, you can do all you can, and even if you have those support systems in place, that doesn't mean that things will be perfect. Just to give anyone like, so that no one feels bad that if, you know, I have all these support systems in place and things still ended up being the way they were. But I think that one of the preventative ways to prevent it is a support group. Having been in a program like I was in, so kind of having a resource on finding knowledge, so like health education, and also having a therapist really before giving birth, like right up until you give birth, is an after that you can see regularly, is definitely very important, especially if you are at risk. And there are also a lot of risk factors beyond having a history of depression. So like family stress, obviously, like after giving birth, like lack of sleep and all of that. Yeah, or any trauma associated with giving birth. So a lot of times women who have traumatic birth experiences also end up with postpartum depression. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you. And then I wanted to, okay, so you mentioned that the after you were diagnosed, your therapist gave you the option of taking medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Or going through, I guess, talk therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So just to put it out there, there are options.
Mm-hmm.
And you as a person, you just kind of have to decide what is fine.
What is right for you. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had therapy before and I just don't like pills. So I'd rather
Let me
talk to you and get it over.
Talk therapy works. I think a lot of times people just see it as, why would I go and sit down and talk to a stranger about my problems? But it's more than that. A lot of these people are licensed, they go through a lot of training. And so they're usually, I mean, that doesn't mean that there aren't, sometimes, I mean, it can be hit or miss, right? But a lot of times you end up with a really, really great person who can help you navigate and understand some of these things and kind of give you, sometimes when you're in something you only see it's like around you, but sometimes therapy helps you see it from like a top position, so like remove you kind of from the situation and look at it from a top level and be like, okay, I can see the things around me that are contributing to this. Because when you're in it, you can't really see everything, but when you're looking at it from the top and you have a clearer view sometimes, and therapy can help you with that in better ways than the way I just described it. So there are definitely lots of options out there beyond medication. And medication is also a great option. I don't want to talk down medication. I personally don't like taking pills either. So, but I know people that medication has worked for, either for mothers or not mothers. So.
Okay, sweet. It's really interesting that you completed part of your treatment while in Nigeria, because now people. Did you have any friends or family that were aware of your diagnosis? within Nigeria or outside Nigeria, and what kind of responses did you get, if they knew?
Yeah, so it's interesting because I'm laughing because Nigerians are interesting. I will never forget. So the day before I had the break that I had that led to me going to the doctor, I mean going to the institute and being diagnosed, I remember having like, I was in a very, I don't even know how to describe it, but I just remember like not really interacting with my mom and my aunts and my and an uncle that was there, and I was just like, everyone should leave me alone. And I was just, I mean, it was, you could easily call it a mood swing, but it was more than that. I was not in a good place, and you know, I was crying hysterically. And I remember one of my aunts, and I was holding my son at that point, and she was like, you know, there's this whole, I don't know if it's in other cultures, but Yoruba culture, like, don't let your tears fall on your child, the taboo thing. And like, you know, I think she knew that I was probably having symptoms of postpartum depression. And she was like, you know, whatever it is, you have to act like you're okay. Because we were on our way to my son had a checkup with his pediatrician. And she's like, you know, you have to act like you're okay. Don't let them call you what you're not. Don't let them label you as something that you're not. And I just remember feeling very upset because I'm like, what am I not? And what am I being labeled as? And it was funny because when I got to the doctor, when I got to the pediatrician's office, his pediatrician knew that something was off with me, and she actually gave me a referral herself to maternal mental health organizations, but I obviously didn't follow through with those ones. But when I got to Nigeria, I obviously like wasn't saying that, hey guys, like I have postpartum depression, but I did, like a few friends knew, a few of my friends did know, and obviously like you surround yourself with people that treat you well. So I didn't have friends that were like, I mean that's what I tried to do, at least. I don't know about some of the friends that other people have, but I, you know, my friends were supportive. A lot of them I actually didn't tell them until like after, or I hinted at it after. My partner knew and was supportive of it, and like therapy and all of that. But it was interesting because the few people that I would hint at it too, they would be like, oh, they like probably didn't understand how serious it was, and just would just give me like a yeah and this and that. But it's interesting because like I've talked about having depression before, like on Facebook for instance, like probably years ago, and I know a lot of aunts and uncles that have, you know, called my parents, said things to them that like, why am I talking about this? Why am I airing my business out? Why am I letting people think that I'm crazy or things like that? And it's just interesting because I feel like, especially for a condition like depression, like it's interesting. People just think of it as something that you're just escalating your normal, like everyone has stress, everyone has this,
right?
So you're just making it look like everyone has a kid and everyone has a newborn and everyone is stressed out by this, like it's not a big deal, like why are you carrying it on your head, like what are you doing that nobody else has done before? And a lot of times when I'm not the type of person that I if I'm confronted with like elders, right, I don't usually, and I don't know if this is the fault of myself, but I a lot of times I don't try to, you know, educate them. If it's on a serious topic, like I'm trying to think of a topic that's more serious than this. There's no topic that I wouldn't want to compare what is serious and not serious. But on certain issues, then yes, I would, you know, educate them. But when it comes to, especially when things are, I guess, personal to me, I kind of just try to allow myself to think that how relevant is this person to my life? The people that matter to me actually care and understand. So a random auntie that I have not seen in like 5 years has commented in my post on Facebook, I don't care. Like, I don't care what she thinks. And I continue to talk about my experience because of people like that, because I think the more that you say that, okay, I went through this, this happened to me, this is normal, it is not, it's not something to be ashamed of. I think that that will reduce the number of people that are saying things like you're airing your dirty laundry out. And it would also make people that are going through the same things to feel connected to, and not feel less alone, I guess, to in their experience.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Our culture is very, you know, keep bad news or keep struggles, keep challenges to yourself. I don't know if it's that, I don't know if it's coming from like a shame perspective, or if you pretend it's not there, then it's not there.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't,
if only then,
right, you know, because I feel like a lot of Nigerians, and I guess Africans too, maybe even Black people, because I know a lot of nowadays, you know, mental health is being talked about a little bit more, more awareness is being put out there, but I would say almost the average Black or Nigerian or African person, you know, would say, well, maybe you're just stressed out.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't need to give this thing a name. You don't need to call. And I think it's also religious as well. You know, which, I mean, yes, but also no. but yeah, there's this thing of no, don't talk about it, like your aunt said, no, don't let them label you, you know. It's tough, but kudos to you for speaking about it publicly, because when we shine a light, when we talk about, you know, things like this and create and build awareness, you're not just helping yourself, or you're helping out somebody else who might have been in the situation, doesn't know how to come out of the situation, or doesn't know what to do about the situation. So I would ask you, what advice do you have to the new mom who thinks she might have postpartum depression but isn't quite sure what she should do or what steps she should take next?
I think that one thing that I'll say, I was just thinking of this earlier talking, and I just, you know, in talking about my own personal experience, I realized that each time I share what I've gone through, another woman usually will like reach out to me, like either like I've talked about my experience like at a public event before, and a lot of women came up, and this was in Nigeria, a lot of women came up to me after, and I've also like obviously on Instagram I've talked about it, and people send me DMs, and I think that one thing for me in talking about this is that like I personally believe that vulnerability is a bridge of connection. So the more vulnerable you are, the more other people can learn from your experience and also feel connected and feel less alone in your experience. And I think that that's my first piece of advice, is that you're not really alone. Especially I feel like as a Nigerian woman, it's so easy to feel like you're alone in whatever you're going through, because I mean, motherhood is such a cherished part of our culture. Being a mother, giving birth, it is very treasured. It is very, I mean, you're held on a high pedestal if you have a child, which is unfortunate. But I think that a lot of pressure is put on that position. So women tend to feel, at least women I've spoken to tend to feel under a lot of pressure when they feel like it's not going perfectly or they're struggling. And, you know, like I said, the first piece of advice I have is to realize that you're not alone. But I definitely, I would really like to see more women, especially Nigerian women, getting help. You know, it's easier when you're in the diaspora, so like UK, US, Canada, wherever, basically just outside of Nigeria. It's easier to get help because in a lot of hospitals, like at least in the US, I mean, healthcare systems, like in the US, like you're automatically ask these questions after like the postpartum depression scale. Like most women are asked these questions at their 6-week checkup, and I believe it's similar in the UK as well and in other countries, whereas in Nigeria, I mean, there's a lot of work being done to incorporate that into like primary healthcare settings, to have women, that the scale being given to women after they give birth. But I mean, for women in Nigeria, I would say that one thing is that there are a lot of resources out there. There are a lot of places to go to get help. And I think that getting help is very important. I wouldn't want a woman to say, okay, I think I have postpartum depression, and just like let that marinate and sit and not really do anything about this, because there are effects that postpartum depression will have on you in the long run or on your child in the long run. And I think that, and nobody, it's really not a way to feel, regardless of whatever effect that it would have on you and your child. I think that it's not a nice way to feel in that present moment. And I think that there's help, there's always help. And I think, like I said, so two pieces of advice that I have would be, you're not alone. I'm realizing that you're not alone, and that get help in whichever way that you can. So either through family, either through actual services, or in any way, even if it's like, and the problem, like I know Vera, you mentioned this earlier, like religion is a problem. And a lot of people, unfortunately, like I don't know, like if you go to a pastor in Nigeria and you say that I'm feeling X, Y, Z way. Because I know like here in the US, like I've gone to like my church and I've spoken to a pastor for that, I'm feeling XYZ, even though it wasn't an Nigerian church. But I've been able to talk to them, because most times they are trained in that. And for some people, like if you feel like that is the case, but just getting help in any way that you can, really. Yeah,
for women in Nigeria, at least, I know that there are
there's some great resources.
Maternal mental health awareness programs and organizations. So you might just need to just get on Google and look up organizations around you.
Yeah. And there's PSN. So I think it's Postpartum Support Network. I know that they do a lot of work on maternal mental health. And I know that there's another organization that I believe is US based actually, but they have like hotlines in like almost every country in around the world, and they have a lot of good information on how to get help and like what to do, even like just ideas on like maybe recipes to nourish your body to help, because all of it plays a good part. And I think it's called Postpartum Support Postpartum Support International. I think that's what it's called. And it's online, and you can just go on their websites. And I think there should be a tab for Nigeria. I haven't looked at the website in a while, but I think there should be a tab for Nigeria, and you can just like, I believe that there's a number there. I don't know if Barry can include, can you include that in the episode
notes? Yeah, I'll definitely
yeah.
information and anything that I find, I'll leave in the show notes. The blog post that goes along with the episode. So thank you for sharing that. And any other resources that you know of, and then I'll put everything in the show notes, because we need to help each other and, you know, help each other out where we can. And thank you for doing this, for talking about it publicly.
Yeah.
I hope at least one person out there
me too
is impacted
and gets help.
You know, there's really nothing wrong with going to therapy. I've had therapy myself. I don't think I've ever spoken about it on here, but I think I had a depressive few months or so. This was maybe like 10 years ago. I didn't go to therapy then, but I know for sure that was proper depression, because I went into such a dark, dark place. I wasn't eating. I didn't want to talk to anybody, you know, and all of that. And if I knew then what I know now, I would have been a therapist. But thankfully now I have access to therapy and all of that. So, you know, ladies, gentlemen, even. If you feel like you need to speak to someone, do it. There's nothing wrong with
therapy. There's no shame.
No shame whatsoever. And you don't have to talk about it with other people if you don't want to.
Okay? Yeah.
It's between you and your therapist. So exactly. Thank you again so much for coming on to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Could you please find you if we have any questions? Where can we find you online?
You can find me at 4.mamas on Instagram. That's where you can find me. That is where you can find me. My email information is on there as well. But that's where you can find me. You can always send me a direct message, and I usually respond when my son is not being. That's where you can find me online.
Thank you so much for that. So you guys, make sure you follow 4.mamas on Instagram, and she has a lot of wonderful information out there, and some of the recipes, man. I saw the one for this morning, the plantain and eggs. And yeah, it was right after I ate. If I had known now, I'd have eaten plantain and eggs. But thank you again so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Give your son a big hug from Auntie Berry.
I will.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right.
Have a wonderful rest of your evening.
You too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Out of everything you could be doing, you chose to spend the time with me, and I am truly grateful. Please follow us on social media at Mommy Oyoyo, which is MommyOyoyo. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Feel free to send us feedback and suggestions that way or via our email at mommyoyoyo@gmail.com. Also, subscribe to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast on your favorite podcast players. Rate and review the podcast. And finally, don't keep this goodness to yourself. Share the Mommy Oyoyo podcast with your friends, your family, your coworkers, and more. The Mommy Oyoyo podcast, sharing experiences of African motherhood. Mommy Oyoyo, Mommy Oyoyo, Mommy Oyoyo. See you next time.